welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Thanks, Debbie. Well, it is good to be back here. I want to tell you, though, that I've never met your pastor, Isaac, but when he called me on the phone, well, he actually texted me. I've never even really talked to him yet, but we will. But when he texted me, he said, Brad Walker, give him my name and would not be afraid to let me come fill in the pulpit. And so this is Brad Walker's fault. I just want you all to know that, okay? Don't blame your new pastor. I mean, well, he's not new anymore. He's a year old. But anyway, don't blame him for this. But no, I want to thank you for allowing me to come. And that's just what God has us doing right now. There's some other things that God's doing, really amazing things that we're going to share tonight. So if you want to hear about that, you'll have to come down back tonight, which I hope you will. So before we do anything else, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to come together to worship you, because you are God. You're the only one worthy of worship, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of everything, Lord. And forgive us when we do worship you halfway. Forgive us when we do anything for you halfway, Lord, because we're so glad and thankful that you didn't go halfway up the hill with the cross, Lord. Lord, we're a people of halfway, it seems like. And so, Lord, I pray now that you would just forgive us for that. And Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just give us spiritual ears this morning, Lord, and spiritual eyes, and open our hearts, God, that we might see you. Give us those ears to hear, like you so often say in your word. We need you this morning, Lord Jesus, and I pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would just speak to us as only you can. Your word tells us that you know us by name, you call us by name. Lord, help us to be obedient to that this morning, and we will praise you for it and give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22, verse 6 is where we're going to be starting. Revelation 22, verse 6. And in my little subheading here, little title up here, it says the last message of the Bible is what this says. And you know, I've never really thought too much about this might be the last message that any of us ever hear in a church setting until just not too long ago that happened. I was filling in at a church and I had no idea, because this man was out in the parking lot and he was listening over the radio. But the next time I went there, this lady came up to me and she said, I just want you to know that was the last message that my father-in-law heard. And I never really thought about that until then. So I want you to think about that this morning. This might be the last message that you hear, okay? And when we know it's the last message, if we knew it was our last message, I guarantee you what, we would be obedient to it, amen? So just think that way. Ask the Lord to open up, and ask the Holy Spirit to open up your mind, to give you spiritual ears, spiritual hearts, spiritual eyes to see, whatever it is, but be obedient to Him this morning. I want to read to you now in 22 Verse 6, Revelation 22, verse 6 says, the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Now, I just want to stop, and we're just going to look at these things this morning, and the Holy Spirit's going to do the speaking to your heart, okay? I'm just going to point out some things, and I want you to be tuned in to Him this morning, and whatever it takes, just ask Him, Lord, you know, this is a good way to start. Lord, just clear my mind, clear my heart, get everything out of my way, because nothing matters but you right now. And so when you pray that way and you believe that way and you start reading God's word that way, I guarantee you what, he's going to move and he's going to show you some things. So I like it when John says here that the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. What else could they be? Amen. And what else could they be? If you believe this is God's word, what else could they be? They are trustworthy and true. All the way from Genesis to where we're at now, every word you can take to the bank because it's the truth. And it says, the Lord, the God of the Spirit of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Oh, man, can we look around today and start looking at things? And if we would just read this word and look at this, it's being played out right in front of our eyes. And we don't have to be scholars to figure that out, okay? We don't have to be theologians. All we have to do is read God's word. He says he'll bless us. If we'll just read it, he will give us what we need. The Holy Spirit, I guarantee you what, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher there ever was. Amen? The Holy Spirit will give you what you need. And he will open up and he will give us the understanding that we need. We're not going to understand everything. In fact, when you think you've understood everything and you understand everything, you're in trouble, all right? Because you're not. I guarantee you're not going to understand this. That's why we call it faith. For all I trust him. We just take it by faith. And Jesus says here, it says the angel showed John must what soon take place. And then Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon. Now, some of you are going to say, just like it says in 2 Peter, oh, I've been hearing that forever. I grew up in church, and I've been hearing that Jesus is coming back ever since I was a little kid. I have. I've heard it from when I could understand what we were talking about. I've been hearing it. But let me tell you, I told you the Bible speaks about that. Let me turn over here. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3, it says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. First of all, you got to understand there's going to be people that's just going to be trying to build themselves up and do the things they want to do, and they're going to be following their own desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's words, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Oh, this is good stuff right here, because this we better be thankful for this. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, what's keeping, I believe with all my heart, what's keeping the Lord from coming back is his people down on their knees praying that other people might know who he is. I believe it. I believe what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, now that's God's people, okay? That's the ones that are true, blood-bought, born-again Christians, I believe. If my people who are called by name would humble themselves and pray. That's where we have to start. We have to humble ourselves and pray. Because I guarantee you that's what God's word says. That's the order it has to go in. If we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, then he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And does our land need healing today? But guess how it starts? It don't start with a different guy in the White House. It doesn't start with, oh, I need this, I need that. It starts with God's people. You look around and you say, okay, this world, I can blame it on anybody. You blame it on yourself, because we got to humble ourselves and get down and seek God's face in prayer. That's the power right there. That's the work. You know, I will get off on that and we won't be going anywhere else. So, prayer. I guarantee you, I learned about prayer. Well, I'm still learning about prayer, and I don't know. I haven't even got my hand around just a little bit of how much God wants to do, but I guarantee you, I learned about prayer and what God can do through people who pray a long time ago, and it was right here in this association. And I'm telling you what, it's real. And so many times we wander away from it and we forget about it. But man, that is the work. So let me tell you what. Let's go on and read here. Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Blessed is he who does God's will. Blessed is he who reads this word and puts it into practice. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. But just don't be doers either, because if you think you can just do your way into heaven, boy, you're out of luck, okay? The sad reality is all of us can't sing when we all get to heaven, because everybody's not going to heaven. Amen? That don't get very many amens. But let me tell you, why would there be a hell if everyone's going to heaven? Why would the Bible talk about hell? We're going to talk about it here in just a minute. You can't do your way into heaven. It's those who reads God's word, who does his will. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. You see, they weren't his imagination. This isn't just some fairy tale that, you know, Christians are too weak to put their, they got to have a crutch so they believe in this guy named Jesus. And all. No, that's not right. He didn't make it up. He didn't imagine it. These were things that he heard and saw. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. Look at this. But he said to me, do not do it. Do not do it. Do not do what? Do not fall down and worship at the feet of angels. Amen. The angel said, don't do it. Don't fall down and worship me. Listen to this. Whew. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Have you ever thought about being a fellow worker with an angel? Because if you keep the words of this book, that's what you are. Did you read that? I can understand that, and I'm not very smart. Look at that. You know, angels are real, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're God's created beings, and this angel right here, the angel Gabriel, we know all about angels, but I guarantee you what, we don't want to worship our guardian angel, okay? My mom got me a little pin one time, and I did. I put it in my visor. You look up there, and this guardian angel's keeping you on the road and all this stuff, and that's all good and well and good, but I'm telling you what, the angel says right here, don't do it. Worship God. There's only one person who is worthy of worship, and that is God Almighty. And man, I tell you what, how do you worship God? The Bible says he put a new song in your heart. Most of the time when we're singing songs now, it's gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh! Hey, I found the neatest thing the other day on TV. I found all the episodes of Hee-Haw. Yeah, my wife's going, yeah, because I've been watching them every night for the last, three or four nights. I thought, that's the greatest thing. I had a chance to sit down, and I was just flipping through there because there's nothing on, and there's Hee-Haw. Anyway. But they sang that song, gloom, despair, and agony. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You all know, most of you know, some of you are too young. But I'm telling you what, worship God. Don't worship a building. Don't worship a pastor. Don't worship even a congregation. Don't worship what you have. Worship God. Because I'm guaranteeing you what, when you start worshiping God, all that other stuff's going to be good. and you're going to focus on him, and you're going to have the best of the church, the best of the congregation, the best of everything going on. And like Debbie said, there's going to be some things that happen because bad things happen to good people. But I'm guaranteeing you what, we're going to know who's going to reach down and pick us up. And when we get back in the boat, we're going to worship God. Amen? I'm telling you what. You got to worship God. Then he told me in verse 10, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book because the time is near. Whew. The time is near. Yeah, well, I've been hearing that ever since I was a kid. The time is near. Well, I'm telling you, the time is near, okay? The time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. You see, God is always calling people to repentance, but one of these days, repentant time is going to be over. Repentant time is going to be over. Look in verse 12. Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon. You kind of get the drift of this. It says, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. The time is near. I'm coming soon. And my reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Oh, wait a minute. I thought when I give my life to Christ, that he would just erase all my sins and we start over. And I didn't have to give an account for anything because he didn't. It was all gone. Well, I'm telling you what. You know, when you received Christ, when you really asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and you mean it with all your soul and mind and heart and everything, just like it says, he did. He wiped your slate clean. But guess what, Christians? Guess what, believers? We're still going to give an account. We're going to stand before our Lord. I believe it right here. He has his rewards with him, and he's going to give to everyone according to what they've done and what they haven't done. I'm telling you what. Too many people just want fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to say I accepted Christ, and we have a head knowledge, but we never get him down here. We never get him into our heart. And I don't know who said this, but they said a long time ago, and it stuck with me forever and ever and ever, and it's always going to stick with me. Most people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. You say, well, what do you mean? That's the distance it is from your head to your heart, 18 inches, because we have a head knowledge. But we don't have a heart knowledge. We have a relationship. We don't have a relationship. We just acknowledge who Jesus is, but we don't have a relationship. You talk about friends, and you go out and you. So I've seen some people on Facebook that's got 12,000 friends, you know. They don't know who they are. They might have, but you know what I'm saying. You got to have Jesus in your heart. He has a personal Savior, a personal relationship. That's what it's about. And we will give an account. Reading Romans 14, verse 12, I believe it is, and Hebrews 4, 13. Give an account of all those things. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I love that. He's the beginning and the end. I'm famous for picking up a book and reading the last chapter. Anybody else? I pick up the newspaper even. I always turn to the back page. I don't know why. But I know when I was in school, I would always go, and when we had to read, we had to read books and all that stuff. But in English class, I even forget the name of the course. It was something literature thing, but I just took the semester of it. All I needed to take, that's all I took. So I opened up, would always read the last chapter of the book, because then it would make more sense to me. If I knew what happened, it would make more sense to me as I was reading, okay? Well, folks, let me tell you what. You don't have to learn like I do, but you can read the back of this book and know what's going to happen. You can, and then everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus, and everything in the New Testament points to Jesus. It's all about Jesus, okay? But I'm telling you what, you can see what's going to happen. You can decide. You can decide. You have a free will. You can decide if you want to be on the winning team or not. And when you know you have the victory, I guarantee you what, it's a whole lot easier to live. Amen? Just think if you went to, just think how we wouldn't have to be begged to put on a smile if we knew we had the victory every time. You walk into a football game knowing you're going to win. I guarantee you what, you're going to be smiling. And you're going to look at them guys and say, I don't care what you do, I already won. I mean, seriously. Think about that. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Oh, it's getting good now. Blessed are those. Jesus says, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. And may go through the gates into the city. Now listen, that's not, you're not blessed because you do your own laundry, amen? Now men, if you'll do the laundry, your wife might like it a lot more. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here, okay? That's not a physical act of washing, but it's accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. It's by having Jesus Christ in your heart. And you know, you can know that you know for sure that you have Jesus Christ in your heart. And you say, well, how's that, Dwayne? It's because this little thing, not a little thing, It's because of this person who lives in there called the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us that when we have that seal of the Holy Spirit on us, we're guaranteed that we're one of Jesus' sons. We're guaranteed we're God's children, a co-heir with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, think about that. I had a lady tell me one time, well, the Holy Spirit just never talks to me. I never hear the Holy Spirit talk to me. And I finally got tired of it hearing it. And I said, well, then you got a problem. Because I guarantee you the Holy Spirit talks to you if you're one of His. If He's living in your heart, He talks to you. If He's living in your heart, He guides you. And when you try to go off on your own, He's pulling you back. Amen. Thank God He doesn't let us He just lets us go without any kind of restraint. Now, the Holy Spirit, if you just think you can live however you want and just think God's going to forgive you and you have no restraints in your life, then I would just almost bet that you have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. Because the Holy Spirit can't do that. He can't let us go. We can't. There's nothing, not even a creature, a living creature, says will separate us from the love of God. We can't lose it. But I'm telling you what, sometimes we've never had it in the beginning. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. That's what we hear about today, rights. This is my right. It's my right to go to heaven because I went to church every Sunday morning. When I was a little kid, my mom and dad drug me there. But boy, I decided that was a good place to be. I have the right to go to heaven because I'm a church member. Man, I'm telling you what. There's only one thing that gives us the right. One thing. And it's cost our God dearly. And that is the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only right we have to go into heaven. We start thinking we've got all these rights and all this stuff, and we start telling God, you know, have you ever caught yourself telling God what He should do? I've done that lots of times. But you know, I found out it's a lot easier just to say, God, just have your way. Thy will be done. My goodness, that's somewhere. I've read that somewhere. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and they may go through the gates into the city. That's heaven, okay? Now look at this. Outside the gates, or outside, are the dogs. Those who practice magic arts. So if you're inside the city, that's heaven. If you're outside, that's hell, okay? That's hell. Listen to this. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts. Oh, it's no big deal. Get hypnotized, play around with the Ouija boards, do all this. That's no big deal. Think about it. The sexually immoral. Oh, it's no big deal. You know, I got a person near and dear to my heart that told me one time it's a woman, okay? She was still married to her husband. She was staying with this other guy. And I asked her about it. She said, well, the lawyer told me to live like I was divorced. And I told her politely, it doesn't matter what a lawyer says. Matters what God Almighty says. It says right here, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. That's who's going to be outside. We don't want to be outside. I guarantee it. We don't want to be outside. And you say, well, Dwayne, how do I get to know that I'm inside? Well, I'm telling you what, you're not good enough to do it on your own. You can't change yourself. You can't clean yourself up. You just got to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you because I can't do it. And then once you come to Jesus, you still can't do it. The Holy Spirit's going to help you, okay? The Holy Spirit's going to lead, guide, and direct you. Outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. Oh, for the churches. Well, this ain't a message you should have to preach in church. Well, I'm telling you what, our churches are so filled up with the people they need to be filled up with. Sinners, okay? We need to have our churches filled up with people who need Jesus. But here's the thing. We get churches filled up with people who think they know Jesus. And then the people who think they know Jesus start making all the decisions and all this stuff. And then guess what? Before long, we hear that message of, well, you've got a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. I'm telling you what. Life of a church has nothing to do with how many people there, amen? Woo-hoo! I've been in the church that had less than 20 people there. That was dead, okay. I know you thought I was going to go the other way, but no, it was dead. I've been in the church where there was 125 people, and it was dead too. It's the Holy Spirit. I wish there was some way we could come up with a Holy Spirit monitor in our church. Wouldn't that be cool, wouldn't it? We walk in the door and we can just see it right here. The Holy Spirit, oh, 10%, 20%, whatever. Man, if we could just even hit 50%, I think we would see things we've never seen before. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you what. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. No more darkness one of these days. Oh, when the morning comes, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone. Listen to this. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. That's easy, isn't it? That's easy. If we add anything to it, read about it. We'll see what we're going to get. That's what God says. That's what God's word says. If anyone adds anything to this book, then he's going to add the plagues to the book. We don't need another testament of Jesus Christ. We don't need any of that stuff. We need God's word to speak to us. And now listen to this. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Well, how do you take away? How can you take away from this? How can you look at God's word and take away from? Well, let me tell you how preachers can do it. They won't preach the whole thing. Amen. They won't preach the hard stuff. They won't preach about sin anymore. You don't ever hardly hear it. Now, I'm not talking about your preacher because I just told you a minute ago. I've never met him. I bet he preaches all the time. But you never hear repentance. You don't hear about sin. You don't hear about any of this. And I'm telling you what, we can all be forgiven of it, all right? I'm not one of those that says you got to follow the law because you can't do it. It's only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone that we can have the right and his blood to the tree of life. But I'm guaranteeing you what, a lot of people are sitting in churches hoping that their pastor will lead them down the right road. And if he's not preaching the whole word of God, then he's not going to be on the right, you're not going to be on the right road. Because the Bible says if you take anything away from it, it's not going to be good. So that means you got to believe all of it. Well, there's some parts in there, Dwayne, I just don't believe. Well, then guess what? You might as well get rid of it. Well, now, I don't know really about, I've talked to people about the virgin birth. You know, come find out one time we had a guy teaching our youth in Sunday school. He was a teacher before I went to that pastor of that church, but that didn't believe in the virgin birth. And he was teaching our youth. You'd have thought someone would ask him about that before he got into being a Sunday school teacher, wouldn't you? Man. If anyone takes words away from this book, prophecy, God will take away from his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. We used to have an evangelist come up from South Missouri all the time. His name was Randy Dalton, and I mean he preached. Some of you may have heard him, I don't know. And he preached. He had a revival one time that went for 40 days, and they baptized over 400 people. It was down in Forsyth, Missouri. And we had people actually driving down there to go to the baptism. I mean, and this was just a scheduled revival. You know, we schedule our little week-long revivals, but this one just didn't stop. And he was obedient not to quit. And I'm telling you what, he would come up to Darlington and preach. And he went to another church close thereby one time and was preaching. They never had him come back. And the pastor said, "That's no way to build a church." I'm telling you what, folks, I'm not talking about the pastor at all. But what I'm saying is, we better quit building churches and start building the kingdom. And the only way we can do that is by each and every one of us. Don't rely on your pastor. Don't rely on him to lead you down the right road, because I guarantee you what, he can't do it. He can stand up here and he can share God's word, and I know he does, but it's up to you. You've got to read it every day. If you have a relationship, if you was married and you only met your wife here on Sunday and someone else told you everything she had to say and you never talked to her again until the next Sunday, I guarantee you what, that wouldn't be much of a relationship. Amen? Amen. Think about that. Some of you are thinking too much about, "Hey, that'd be great." Don't work that way. It don't work that way. I'm going to finish up, I promise. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I'm coming soon." So guess what? When you read that, he who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I'm coming soon." That's Jesus. He's testifying to everything that John's writing here. We know that he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But he says, "I testify." The one who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." And guess what we should all say? The next part. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. You know, some may not be ready to say that. Some of you are here this morning, that might not be your response. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And I'm asking you, if it isn't your response, why? Why is that not your response? Real quickly, I got to read this other part first, real quick. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this in verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You hear that? Let me read that again. This is Jesus. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Man. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?'" That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? If we seen that happening today, that would be awesome. But Jesus says, "Then I will tell you," he would tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." You see? Those are the folks that have Jesus up here. Those are the folks that just feel like they're just good. They've done everything. They're you know, "I accepted Christ when I was a little kid. I don't have no big testimony and all that stuff. My mom, I was raised in church, all this stuff." Well, I'm guaranteeing you what. There's a song, I don't even know who sings it, but I love it. It says, "I'll never get over the blood that I'm under." Has anybody ever heard that song? I'm sure you have. "I'll never get over the blood that I'm under." I guarantee you what, when you get under the blood, you won't get over it. It won't be something that you just, "Oh, whoopee-doo, you know, no big deal. God, I know you're great and everything, but I'm going to go out and face the day." I'm telling you what, you won't even be there. Some days you'll be, before you even get out of bed, you'll be praying, "Lord, I need you. I don't even want to get up today, Lord, because of this. But you, it's all about you, Lord," and all the things that and you got to get that out of your mind, and you got to start focusing on God. Because just like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, we got a whole bunch of Peters that wants to jump out of the boat, but then they look around, oh, boom. But guess what? God's right there. All we have to do, save me. That's what Peter did. Save me. Jesus reached down and they walked on the water, got back in the boat, and they worshiped God. So let me ask you this morning. Is that your response? Amen, Jesus, come. What if this was the last message that you heard? Will you walk out of this place just thinking, well, yeah, you know, that guy was, just mediocre. He didn't really give me none of the big stuff and all that. Well, I'm guaranteeing you what, I'm not about the big stuff. It ain't never going to happen with me. I don't know no big words or anything like that. But I guarantee you what, I know who Jesus is. And it's not anything special about me. But it's because people prayed for me, and it's because I got to looking in God's Word, and I got to be surrounded with people that Jesus just flowed out of them. And the more I learned that God had to do it in my life, the more He has said, okay, Dwayne, let's do it then. Are you sure? And there's been times along the road where He's tested me, and I failed, and He's brought me back. And I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to the day when, man, I'm telling you, I may have told you this last time, but every time when we lived in Carrollton, there was a train on the south side of town, and there was one up north a little bit. But every time in the middle of the night when we first moved down, I hear that train blow, I jumped up. I thought it was a trumpet, baby, I'm telling you. I got to looking around. We was all still there. But man, I'm telling you, are you excited about Jesus coming back? Are you excited about what's next? You can be. Don't leave this place today. This could be the last message you ever heard. Don't reject, because there's not going to be any excuses. Like it talks about in Luke, you know, well, I just got married. I can't come. The first invitation went out, having this big banquet. Yeah, I want to come. Save the date. Yeah, I'm coming. Well, that was God sending His invitation. Then the time came. Says, the banquet's now ready. Go tell everybody it's ready. Come on in. Well, I can't do this because I just got married. I just bought a yoke of oxen. I got to go try them out. I just bought a field. Can't do that. Accepted the Father, rejected the Son.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.